this is part of my message, okay, and it's an illustration. Okay, again, this is part of my message. I would not normally do this, but this is part of my illustration, okay? Again, this is part of my illustration. There's a fire in the building. Would you please go to the stairs and leave the building? Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right now.
All right. No, you don't have to. But my announcing that, my saying that, okay, not a drill, it's just part of my message. If I said to you, there's a fire in the building, would you please get out of your seat and leave the building? Okay? Am I demanding that you leave the building?
No.
Right. Am I commanding that you leave the building? What am I doing?
You're inviting.
I'm inviting, but in a sense,
You're warning.
Warning.
Urging.
Urging. Okay. Am I damaging your freedom?
No. I'm taking notes.
All right.
Inside.
All right. Are you free not to leave?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Am I doing this to test you?
Maybe.
All right.
What was that last?
I'm gonna investigate.
Am I doing this to test you? If this was a real life situation,
when you're coming through the door.
Yes. Yes. Right. Okay. Would it be a test?
No.
No. Okay. Now, part of the reason I think you're answering the way that you're answering is because you have a pretty good understanding of a concept that there was a fire, okay, that you want to get out of the building, okay? But also, I think there's a little bit of an understanding that I probably wouldn't, you probably know me well enough, I probably wouldn't do that as a joke, okay? So, in knowing a little bit about me, if I was to do that, I would mean what I said. Now, if you decided not to leave the building, and you got burned or you died, was it because I'm punishing you? Because
no.
You didn't listen to what I instructed?
Yeah.
You're following what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes.
All right. So, would somebody read verse 15 and 16.
Of what?
This is Genesis chapter 2. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Would somebody?
I'll read it off the screen.
Sure, go ahead.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it.
Ooh.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat every tree of the garden.
Is that all said?
Yeah.
One more. Verse 17.
But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
So was God trying to stop their freedom?
No.
And if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then they died. Was it because God was punishing them? No, okay?
It's hard. Like it, though.
It does, okay, but one of the important things to also understand, and this is really just an introduction to my message, okay? But even the word by Yitzhar is there, good morning, Rose. Shabbat Shalom, that's used there, is used in some other places in Scripture where it's translated charge, like a valedictorian at a graduation would charge the graduates. That's different than commanding. Okay, but it's the same exact word, same exact tense. That's what the imperfect tense. That it's and in a sense, if I came in and I said, Louis, this is just part of my message. Okay, I have to say that. If I was to say, there's a fire in the building, please exit. Okay. Is that a command?
Advice.
It's advice, but actually it is a command in that it's really instruction that you ought to follow. Okay? We have in English this tendency to look at command as though it's like we think about the military sense of command. But really, sometimes commands are just very valuable instructions. I mean, you would be pretty, you'd have a problem upstairs, if you will, if I said, and my gun said, there's flames behind the door, and you could smell the fire, and you could see the flames, and I said, please exit. Oh, I don't want to follow this command. Okay? It'd be a little bit of a mental problem not to leave. Okay? Because really, and again, the information was valuable and real. And therefore, following that instruction or command makes sense. And I'm just emphasizing that with this understanding from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Okay? That it was valuable information that God was instructing, and it made sense to follow. Okay? I mean, if it's a true reality, okay, the instruction is like a command. Because why not do it? Alright? But God was not a killjoy of trying to stop their freedom. Okay, this is so important to understand. Okay. And again, a lot of this has to do with the character of God. And we've done this a little bit, but I want to emphasize it a little bit more. And part of the reason I made the decision to do worship after the message today. Because a lot of this has to do with the character of God. Like I said, if I had a reputation for being a practical joker, a horrible practical joker, and in that sense, again, this is still part of my message, I said there's fire and you've got to leave, you might think it's our joking, okay? But because I don't have that stigma of being that type of practical joker, if I did say that, and I think you could probably tell by even my tone, you probably sense some concern, okay, that you would get up and you leave, okay? And so again, knowing the character of the one explaining these things makes you understand it better. See, as we get to know Messiah better, we understand better what the word says because we understand who's saying it.
Yes.
If our understanding is tainted, okay, if somebody was whispering in your ear some untrue things about me,
yeah.
Oh, Art's a practical joker, don't believe anything he says, somebody starts to do that, then if I was to give you that warning, you might be tempted not to listen. In other words, your impression of the character of the one saying the thing can be tainted. See, our understanding of God's character has been affected by the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's, again, this understanding of inverting what's already upside down so it's right side.
Yes.
Okay. And really, where I want to connect with this is, again, with the actual name of God. It's interesting because Diane brought it up earlier today. Of course, it's right here. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. It's purple, right?
Yes.
Okay. Which is God's actual name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not his position. It's not his office. It's actually his name. And we had this kind of on our little questionnaire that we had the last 2 weeks. But it only shows up in the Bible about 6,000 two times, depends on which resource you use. But a 6,000 plus time, it shows up in the scripture. So it's not a small topic. But I would say that there's actually a little bit of a battle through the years between the rabbis, the translators, and our fallen nature. Right? And this is the way that I would describe that. All right? Is that there's a battle between capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and what this word really means. Again, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D is not a translation and it's not a transliteration of the Hebrew. It's a respectful replacement term for the word. Okay? It's like if you always, and again, respect is one thing, And it's interesting, I don't really want to move into politics, so to speak, but sometimes I think there's things that have some interesting significance. And that is, it's really kind of ironic that our president's name is Trump.
Yeah.
Wherever you stand on the political spectrum, yeah, it's a strange thing that he has this name Trump. Okay? Because Trump has a certain meaning.
Yes.
Okay? However, really, the respectful way to address him is Mr. President. Okay? But his name is Trump. Okay? Now, obviously, he's not our king, and he's not our God. Okay? And regardless of where you stand, he won't be in office more than 8 years at the maximum. Okay? But God is God. Okay? And what his name means has some significance. Not just that he has a respectful title when we call him Lord or Sir or Master or Savior. His name actually has meaning. Follow this.
Yes.
All right? So when we use the word Lord, especially the Old English, kind of a boss.
Yes.
It's kind of somebody over us. Mm-hmm. We use the English phrase, somebody lords it over you.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, master is fair. I mean, the Old English understanding in the Middle Ages, a lord is some sort of master. That's fitting. Follow. It implies following. You got to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You got to serve.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. You got to obey.
No other way.
Do what is told. Do's a big one.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to that. Do's a very big one. Don't do you. Alright. Over us. Think about Lord. It's somebody over you, looking over you. And then the last one is, direct you. What's the one that directs you? Those are all implied in this word, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This word has none of that in its root understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Has none of that in its root understanding. Okay. Basically, simple, and actually I didn't want to put this in, but the scriptural understanding, in a sense, is what God actually said to Moses. I am that I am. I exist because I exist. Okay. In Revelation, he is the one who was and is and will be. He's the only one that has existence in himself.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 17. In him we move and live and have our being. I also have the word is. He is really the only one that is on his own. And we could go further with this. But this is what his name conveys. That he is the one that exists all on his own. I didn't put breath in there, but that kind of goes in there too. Okay? Because nothing has breath without him.
Amen.
Okay? But you see the difference? In a sense, his name has to do with being, not doing. I'm going to say that again. His name has to do with being, not doing. His name has to do with being, not doing. We were created in his image to be like him.
Yes.
Okay. There was nothing in Genesis 1 or 2 for us to do like him. We were created to be like him. Who got them to do something? Yes. The serpent got them to do something with the implication that they had to do that
To be.
To be, which they already were.
Yeah.
Do you see the contrast?
Yes.
Fallen man thinks he has to do in order to be. Or that in some way by doing, he changes his being. Truth is that as soon as we fell, there was nothing that we could do to undo what we had just done.
Yeah.
That's why someone else had to provide the way for us, for our being to be changed.
Yes.
So that we could be like the one who is the being of beings.
Oh. Sweet.
See, and I want to say this, and I want to say it sharply, all right, because maybe hopefully with some clarity and razor sharpness, but you know, God is not, the plan of redemption is not to change your doing, it's to change your being. Because if he changes your being, the doing will follow, because that's who you now become.
Yes.
In him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The whole concept of the new creature in Christ.
Yes.
Now there are things that is we are changed by him as we start to walk into them, and even walk and do in them, we start to recognize them more. But the real rubber meets the road of redemption is that he's changing our being, not our doing. And fallen man is all about doing. Really is. And this division is not just for those outside the body. It's still this work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because God is still, there are things that we still, you know, we're so used to it because we're living in this fallen world. And we don't always believe what we believe. And I also want to read today from Philippians chapter 2. Because again, so much of this has to do with, it all has to do with what his being is really like. Philippians chapter 2. Start with verse 1 to verse 11. And this is really our lead-in to worship today. It's really from Philippians chapter 2. And one of the things that I want to say is that if you're familiar with the book of Revelation, it talks about the saints bowing down, the angels worshiping at Jesus' feet. Bowing down and worshiping at his feet. But why do they worship at his feet? Now, don't answer yet. Okay? And this is what I want to answer, at least a part of this. It may just be a millimeter of why, but I think there's an understanding that sometimes we miss because we want to do rather than be. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. You know, most of what we do is trying to get some type of glory.
Yes.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know what, without the new man in us, That's impossible.
Yeah. True.
But the new man actually truly esteems other better than themselves.
Yeah.
Look not every man on his own things, every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which I'm just making up, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, this is the mind of Christ. This is the mind of God. This is the image of God. This is what God is like. Colossians says that in Jesus, in Christ, dwells all, not just a little bit, all the fullness of the Godhead body. So in Christ, we see what God is like. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Or I think the NASB puts it, who thought equality with God was not something to be grasped. See, we want to walk around in vain glory. Whatever it is, we want credit for it. We want to be seen. And in some ways, sometimes the natural man, the more we have, the more we think we have, the more we think we have a position, the more we want to be seen.
Right.
The mind in God is just the opposite. Even though he was equal with God, he wasn't grasping to even be viewed like he was equal with God.
Wow.
That should blow the circuits in our brain. See, I love the passage in Mark where the rich young ruler said, good teacher. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? I think there's a lot of answers to why Jesus probably said that. But I think one of it is, Jesus wasn't walking around thinking, I'm good, I'm God. He didn't think like that. It's like it didn't enter his thought process like that. It wasn't like he was denying it. But he doesn't walk around with it like, oh, I gotta keep this in mind. No. He made himself of no reputation. See, reputation is important. To the natural man, reputation is like, but not to God. The one who's worthy of all reputation is willing not to have reputation.
Wow.
But made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a lowly servant and was made in the likeness of man. Never, ever get over the dangerousness. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And really, obedience is not the right word there, but he gave himself to be given to death. Even the death of the cross. The lowliest possible conclusion to an earthly life. That's where he went. He gave himself to him. Even the death of the cross. See, I'm thankful that we have Via and Sophie here today, because it just helps illustrate this point a little bit. But Sophie, in her character, had a tough time taking her mom's compliments. Okay? But what does that do to us in terms of our recognition of Sophie's character? It actually builds it even further. I know. But it's just it's a great illustration. Because the humble person, the genuineness of a humble person kind of almost deflects praise.
Yeah.
Which actually makes you want to praise them more.
Yeah.
This is what this passage is telling me. See, I believe that the reason why we, in a sense, or the saints or the angels bow down before them. See, a humble person makes you want to be humble.
Yes.
If it's a truly humble person, that humble person makes you realize I'm not so humble. It's almost like you have to lower yourself in their presence. Mm-hmm. And the more you recognize their humility, the more you lower yourself. Mm-hmm. And in the reality of the genuine humility of that one, you actually start to see it even more. And then you have to go even lower.
Yes.
And you have to go lower. It's impossible for us to get low enough. In God's presence, it's actually impossible for us to get low enough. The knowledge of the Most High God is that He is the Most Low. I'm going to say it again. The knowledge of the Most High God is that He is actually the Most Low. He's the lowliest of all. And it's evidenced by the mission of Messiah. Therefore, verse 9, therefore, God has also highly exalted Him. See, the most humble gets exalted. But that doesn't change their humble character. It actually kind of intensifies it in a strange way. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the knee of Jesus, every knee should bow. Not because they're exactly being forced, but you can't do anything else in the presence of the Most Holy One. Of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth. Because every creature, every human being will recognize this, because it's reality. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that is kind of why I want to tie this in one other way with the first half of this message. In terms of what we worship. We're worshiping the Most Holy God. And the more we recognize that in our spirit, the more we actually want or desire to worship, or to recognize worshiping. But it's not a doing. It's a being. See, I think one of the, and it's interesting because this wasn't planned, but Don and I had this conversation before our meeting began. Sophie was practicing. And Don and I were talking about how we really enjoy sometimes the worship while a worship team is practicing almost more in the service itself. And Agape does that, and here you're practicing before. And I think the difference is sometimes, and this is what I was not quite saying before, is because in the practice time, we feel free just to be, not to do. See, our old man thinks we have to do worship. And sometimes even in the community of faith, leaders and ourselves sometimes kind of put a spin. You gotta do worship. Well, you're actually kind of leaving the true atmosphere of worship. See, worship isn't a doing. It's a being, because that's the image of God. And that's the image He's recreating in us. So it's a being. And as that being is liberated from doing, it actually starts to live out the life of God in my freedom.
Penetrates.
Yes. Amen. So that's, I'd just like to pray and then Sophie can come up.
And do work. Let's be working.
Yeah. I'm going to encourage you, Sophie, just to come up to practice.
We will practice with chaos, however you want.
Amen. So So, Jesus, we just thank you that you are the one.
Yes.
You are the one. You are the one. Not proper English, but you is the one. And we thank you that your mission is restoring the fallen image of God in us to the new man in you. And you have recreated a new man in us. And it's a completely new man. It's not locked in the authority of the serpent who got us to do. You have recreated us in your image. And if we're in your image, we don't have to do to be in your image. So I pray that we will just enjoy and be that which you have recreated us to be. And to enjoy worship and just be in worship. So bless Sophie as she comes and practices. And help us as we just enjoy that practice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.